of that is in the future. Now it is time to go back to the past. It is History Matters with the one and only Mr. Scott Washington, Hillsborough historian. How are you?
Well, great to be here, Aaron, and I'm glad we're not in Florida, but it looks like just as we're sitting back, just saying, aren't we glad we're here? It looks like this massive storm may even come this way.
Well, we were talking about the hurricane just last week with Hurricane Harvey and now Hurricane Irma. And it's very much shades of 2005 when it was Katrina and Rita and Wilma and all on top of each other.
Yeah. And there's another one coming after Irma, too. So
that's
a 1-2 punch for all those folks.
Yeah.
Well, you know, it's interesting because, you know, we think of history as just being people and places, but today, this is September 7th.
September 7th,
back
this
in
day
1846.
In history. Yep, speaking of hurricanes.
Yeah, a hurricane hit the Outer Banks. They didn't have a name for it then.
Right.
But it actually opened up some of the inlets.
Mm-hmm.
And I talked to a family who had roots going way back generations, and the young woman was talking about her grandparents. And some of the houses they used to have on the Outer Banks had giant corks in them. And I said, why is that? She said, well, because when the water would get high, they could actually, if it flooded, they'd take the cork and let it go. Otherwise, they would put it in and the house would float.
Would float?
And they would, and she said, she talked to her grandparents one time. They said, oh, yeah, after one storm, the houses floated and landed in a different place. And that's where
and
they
that's
lived.
Where you lived?
That's where
Oh, that's incredible.
I'm not sure it works quite that way today, but
there's got to be like a whole different set of property laws
it was pretty loose at that point.
Floating land. Pretty much everything was loose at that point.
But,
but
you know, you think about the hurricanes and what's happening now and the people that are affected in harm's way, and our thoughts go out to them.
And you think about a hurricane like that opened up the Hatteras Inlet and the Oregon Inlet, so it literally changed the landscape.
Yeah.
Like hurricanes have that power.
That's right.
Yeah.
And we have to keep this balance between having a perspective that they are storms, they're not made up, that we can't be in denial about them, and making sure that people, when they are affected, just because it's suddenly sunny skies afterwards doesn't mean that things are all back to normal.
Yeah.
And that's true for the dear folks down in Houston, and it's also true through the Caribbean islands and coming up the coast. So
it's going to be a rough couple of days. And I've got you've got a son who lives in the Virgin Islands.
Yes,
I've got friends and family in Florida.
That's right.
Yeah.
Well,
your son is okay because he's here.
Yes, he is. That's right. He had a long-standing trip with his gal pal, and they came up here. But they were, of course, concerned and still are. But they're not heading back there anytime soon. And right now they're saying until that infrastructure gets rebuilt. And, you know, we don't think about these U.S. territories. And we think of them like some kind of extra. These are U.S. citizens.
Yeah.
There are 100,000 U.S. citizens on the Virgin Islands. And we need to be looking out after them as well as anyone else. And I hope that relief efforts will continue, as I'm sure they were, even for the people of Puerto Rico, who are also U.S. citizens.
Who are also U.S. citizens, not to mention, like, all of the other countries. The Bahamas are
getting hit. It's not like, we're going to move across.
Yeah.
I think that's one thing about storms. We suddenly realize that some things about the human condition transcend borders and that bind us all together. You think of the other hurricane that I know a lot of people are being affected by today, and it's all the people who are the DACA recipients this week that got the news from Attorney Jeff Sessions on behalf of Donald Trump that they were going to end this in 6 months.
Yep.
And hopefully we'll have some elected leaders who say, no, we need to stop that hurricane from taking effect.
And we do have leaders who are saying that. Let's hope they actually do it.
Well,
that's the next step, right?
Well, and you know, when we think of this great country, back in 1776, September 9th, is when the name the United States is adopted by the Continental Congress.
Yes.
Isn't that something?
Which is good because it gave Great Britain a better understanding of who on earth they were fighting for the last 3 months. Like from 1775 up until September 9th, this was this nameless entity.
And North Carolina is the leader in that effort after defeating Scottish Highlanders down near Wilmington.
Mm-hmm.
The delegates get together in Halifax. The Halifax resolves, and they're the first of these former British colonies to say it's time for independence and instruct their delegates to the Continental Congress, lobby the other states, it's time for independence. And 2 months after that, we have the Declaration of Independence.
Yep.
There's some currency at the Orange County Historical Museum that has on it rising states, that back in the day, there was a time when they didn't have quite the name, but it was the rising states. It wasn't the United States, it was the Ooh. Rising states. Isn't that a wonderful sense?
That is good, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's at a certain point you've got to. At a certain point, if you're establishing the name of a country, it can't be rising anymore. But that's a good one. Yeah. So, it's Thomas Paine who invented United States as the phrase, right? I think common sense or something like that.
Something like that. Yeah. Yeah. And I think that's we think about these great movements in history. We talked about one a couple of weeks ago about what was happening with Confederate statues and even the whole notion of why are we honoring people who are fighting against the United States?
Yep.
And now that was a sudden kind of a 100th monkey moment where everybody suddenly went, yeah, and
that's
like
a
light bulb.
Why?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So there are different kinds of changes in things. Then there are some other things like September 8th, the Pledge of Allegiance was published for the first time in 1892. Now we think, oh, it's been there forever. No, it hasn't. And that's kind of a good thing to keep in mind, that some of these, we go back, we want to understand where things came from.
Yep.
And
how they've changed and evolved over time, too. The phrase
exactly.
under God was not originally in the pledge. It was added in,
54,
in the Eisenhower years.
That's right.
Yep.
So that's very important things to realize. Of course, we have the other lighter moments, just like history involves also acknowledging the creative elements. September 4th, 1893, Peter Rabbit was created, the fictional foe of Mr. McGregor.
Yes.
When Beatrice Potter writes a letter to a friend about four little rabbits named Flopsy, Mopsy, Cottontail, and Peter.
This is the first.
Yeah, this is a fascinating kind of thing.
Yeah, it really is. Like, we've got this, there's been this trend over the last, I guess, 40, 50 years of taking the villain and sort of reinterpreting, reimagining them as the protagonist. And this is the
Wicked,
original,
you know,
right?
You think of the musical Wicked
right?
Yes, right?
Grendel, the book about Beowulf's foe. This is the original, right? Because you think about the farmer, like you usually sympathize with the human who is fighting this rodent out, and then no, the rabbit is the good guy.
The rabbit is the good guy.
Is evil. Yeah.
Oh, that's right. I mean, that's amazing. And what I find fascinating is that she expands this letter that she's written to a friend into a book, but it's rejected by publishers.
Of course.
Now, isn't that fascinating? It's like, who will want rabbits, you know?
It's like, don't want rabbits,
oh my gosh.
No. Oh,
I think that's kind of an interesting kind of moment in creative history that we need to
There is something to be said for the fact that so many great novels or great pieces of literature and history got rejected by a dozen publishers before they got accepted. It almost makes you think twice if you're writing something and sending it out for publication. If it gets accepted the first time, that's a bad sign.
Well,
man, you need to accept it a whole bunch of times.
And you wonder how many other stories are languishing that are really good ones
that are great,
because somebody got discouraged.
Yep.
Here's one that began with a pitch of being like cowboys in the stars, and September 8th, 1966 is when this series debuts on NBC with an episode called The Man Trap, and of course it's
Star Trek. Yes.
There's another kind of creative endeavor, and you think, oh yeah, how would we not have Star Trek?
51 years, and it's still going. You've got the show, you've got the follow-up show, and the follow-up show, and the follow-up show, and the follow-up show, and like 13 movies, and a reboot. Yeah.
Well, and it gave us an idea of looking about the future differently, and all different authors have, from time immemorial, have talked about the future in different ways, and it's given people a chance to imagine a different future that's a better future.
Yeah.
And I think that's what we saw. That's part of the DNA of Americans, is to imagine something better, where there's tolerance and there's diversity, where there's respect for people. And the things we don't tolerate are the things like bigotry against people. And I think These are good things. These are good things we should be celebrating.
I do appreciate the thing about Star Trek is it comes out in the middle of the Cold War, so you've got Americans and Russians working together on the same page, and every ethnic group is together. Right. And it makes you think about science fiction, because when you think about science fiction in general, when humans are going out and they're interacting with other aliens, there are very rarely national divisions among those other aliens, right? They're all unified. So why shouldn't human beings be unified too?
Well, and you know, one of the fascinating things about that series as it continued to grow and develop was that it didn't fall into the usual norm of, well, let's just fire phasers and everything. That oftentimes it became a lot about understanding people,
helping, cooperating.
Exactly. Yep. Diplomacy, you might even say, which I think is we desperately need in our world is more of those kind of dialogues. And this is a show that helps do that, I think. But I think that's one of the great things that's been an outcome of that particular TV series has been a lot of discussions that make you think.
The TV show Tarzan debuted on the same day on the same channel. Can we draw any inferences from that?
Just when we're thinking noble thoughts.
In comes Tarzan. Thank you.
Well, it shows that there's
Mr.
a lot Burrows. Of diversity there.
And, up to a point.
In its own way. Yeah. Well, there are some other interesting things. 1789, September 9th, is when the House of Representatives of Congress recommends the adoption by the states of 12 amendments to the Constitution. Yep. The Senate proceedings were secret, so we don't really know a lot about what they do, and they have to go through some discussion. But eventually, on September 25th, 1789, 12 amendments are passed. And, of course, the great contribution, as we've talked many times, that North Carolina makes to this progress, to this process, is over in Hillsborough, when a constitutional convention there voted to postpone ratifying the Constitution until provisions were made for adding a Bill of Rights. The only state to do that, and I think that's a tremendous thing. And you can still walk on those same streets that those delegates walked on, which is same names.
Yes. Yeah. And 12 of them got proposed, 11 of them ultimately got ratified, right? The first 10 and then number 27, which came 200 years later.
Yes, exactly. These are
just such
a
fascinating
stuff.
Story.
Oh, it is,
yeah.
It is. Well, and of course, coming up, September 17th is Constitution Day this month, and if I understand, there's a great speaker going to
be
speaking over
at
there.
This thing.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh! And if you have never heard, if you've listened and enjoyed Aaron on the radio, you should.
If you've
hear
never
him.
Heard me speak before, welcome to the show.
Many times I want to applaud.
Thank
when you
for
speak.
Turning over from whatever station you were listening to before.
But you can hear him in person. You can get an autograph. And say, "Oh my gosh!" Yeah, but Aaron is a brilliant historian, and he makes history come alive in such great ways. So I would urge you to.
That's
go
high
to
praise coming from you. Like you history come alive.
Oh my gosh!
Like,
well, you know how much we love doing this.
Yeah.
We've all, and I think anybody who's listened has also had to endure terribly boring things. And when it comes to history,
it's true. We all have. Yeah.
Yeah. But when you kind of uncover these wonderful nuggets, you can't help but be excited. And I hope people are when they come across it, because it is important. And as we know from the events, even in the last 3 weeks, history really does matter.
Absolutely.
And how important that is.
We've got time for one more thing. You want to talk about Charles Kuralt?
Charles Kuralt.
Born this year,
this
week in history.
Yes, I think that's a great kind of one to end it on. September 10th, 1934, Charles Kuralt was born in Wilmington.
Yes.
There's more.
Yes.
And of course, as we know, he is on the road series, does that for a number of seasons. Many people, I think, know that, but maybe not everyone knows that he was here at WCHL.
That is right. We've got a picture of young Charles Kuralt working here, like back in the back. Yeah.
If you're listening, this is not coincidence. You're supposed to be listening to the station, and you're listening to one of the great DJs of the Southeast, Aaron Keck, every day, plus everyone else who works here. It's great, but I have a certain bias towards towards you, Aaron. So, but that's a great thing, and that I think that says a lot about this station, which is certainly one of the best in the Southeast and probably in the country in terms of the
this
variety.
This is why we have you on the air.
Yes. Well, I'm saying it objectively. You know, and you tune in and go, you cannot find this anywhere else. And I'm sure that as We have continuing developments with hurricane coverage. This is a station to tune to because you'll get the up-to-date, and certainly on road conditions, well, Aaron does it better than anyone else. I feel like I should get in the car and drive out there because you do such a great job with that. But yeah, it's nice to know that Charles Kuralt was born here in Wilmington in North Carolina, and his sense of storytelling, which is so much a part of North Carolina lore. And we have some of the best storytellers, I think, in the country right here. And that's a great thing. And they're the kind of people who will tell you history matters, and certainly Charles Kuralt would as well.
Absolutely. Scott Washington, thank you so much.
You bet. Thank you, Aaron.